Number 1B.
So we can see that we have the four sides of the holy city when we are a neophyte in Christian Science, and therefore have the desire to seek. So there is, for that state of consciousness, there is an operational sequence, and it's good to know that. So that if we have a beginner, we don't say to him, look here, you don't need to seek, you know. God declares itself to you anyway. He is declaring itself, and he is self-operative, and he is self-fulfillment. You just don't have to do anything. You don't have to apply anything. Use the ideas. They are using you. Well, both aspects are true, but we must see from which aspect we are talking. And to talk to a beginner from the absolute standpoint, if he has not have gone through the seeking and finding and using process, is actually talking over his head, is talking absolutism, is talking mysticism, and it doesn't do him any good. Therefore, we have always to see where a student is so that we adapt ourselves to the level of the student's consciousness. We know this very much out of experience. You know that very well, especially in our age where absolutism and mysticism is rampant in the world, that they say, you don't need to seek, you don't need to find, it's all here, you don't need to use, it's already here and fulfilled. And so we rob a student of his true approach to God. We must see that being is actually dimensional, that it has many dimensions, and therefore that we adapt to each student, to each level of thought, adapt our teaching. All right, let's take other sequences. What would you like to take as the next one? Revelation? That's a nice one, huh? Yes, you take Revelation. Why is Revelation the word?
Yes.
Yes. So it is the self-declaration, which is now brought down to the human. So you have here another level, namely how the self-declaration of God comes to the human, and it comes to the as a revelation of the Word of God. That's how it has come to the patriarchs, that it has come to Moses, that it has come to Jesus, to Mrs. Eddy, to every one of us, that when we see that the more we understand something about the Word of God, the absolute sense of the Word of God, that in that measure, that Word of God reveals itself always more and more to us. So it comes as a sense of revelation. All right, if we take Revelation and consider the sequence, what would he get in the Christ? Translation, that's a good one. Why is it the Christ translation? Yes, yes, yeah, not too much, not too much, just translating down. Yeah. Yes, all right. So we have the Christ always as a translation. Translation means, in our terminology, means what? It means to take the whole and translate it to the point of the many. To take the one principle and translate it to ideas. This is always the sense of translation, that terrific mystery of the Christ, that the one infinite principle translates itself to infinitely diversified ideas. This is the great mystery of the Christ. And this is the translation, yes. So it translates principle to the point of ideas, yes. If we have now revelation, then translation, what would we get in Christianity? Reflection, yes, reflection. Others may say demonstration, it just depends on the aspect. So why is reflection Christianity? Yes, yes, yes. So you get a whole universe. Also, when you think of Christianity, always think of a whole universe. Not a material universe, but a universe of ideas. So reflection can only be in a realm of ideas, in a realm, because as you said, it is an idea reflecting every other idea, and therefore you get the whole universe of relationship, and that is reflection. What then do we have when it comes to science? You get again perhaps explanation. We had already self-explanation in the one before, or you can take here interpretation. Yes, that science then interprets or understands this infinite reflection. So that the infinite reflection is not something that is unexplicable, that is disordered, that where one doesn't see any order in it, any structure in it, any system in it. So there must be a science to uncode, so to say, all these infinite ramifications and say, hey, look here, I can explain to you very clearly why there is this infinite reflection taking place. Yes? So science again would say, all right, science reveals. Yeah, we know that from the textbook, that's something that has always, right from the beginning, hit me like a ray of light, that she never says God reveals, but she always says science reveals. That has hit me terribly. Oh, whatever is the word, like a stroke. Oh, terrifically. Oh, that's better. See, because the whole of mankind, so to say, molded by religion, always says God reveals. The only thing that can reveal is God. One never has attached or attributed to science the ability of revelation. And here we see very clearly, no, it is actually science that has this ability to bring to us new revelation. And bringing to us new revelation, it translates the principle of being through the Christ to new ideas, that's the Christ, the translation sense, and therefore shows us the infinite ramification of ideas more and more and more. We get the more and more complex sense of being, and this is something that science explains. Yes, so here we had another sequence. Let's take a further one. Who would like to start with a further one? Input. All right, so we go to cybernetics. Right, we have input. Why is this the word? Yeah, you give first all the information that is available into as input. The word is naturally that which knows everything. The word knows everything. So it must contain all the data. It must be the big data bank that says, because I declare myself, I have within myself all the... So that data bank says, I have within myself all... So you have all information stored up. That's the word. The word that knows all. No. It's the input. It's the input of... Yeah. In a way, you are right. You know, if you feed the data bank, you feed in addition... always more, more, more into it. Yes, in that way you are right. Yeah. So that's the input. Now what is the Christ in the computer language? Cloud, the process. Yeah. How do they call it, by the way, that process? They call it the black box. Perhaps you remember that. It's black box because there all the processing goes on. Yeah. So it's the processing. Yes, you have the Christ is always the operational sense, the self-expression. Now it takes all those data in the data bank and processes those data. Without processing them, we wouldn't have anything. Then what would be Christianity? Would be the output. That's the easiest one because she said that Christianity is the outcome. So out of the computer comes all the various information that we need. And then science, the feedback. Why is it feedback? What do we need by feedback? You go back to the word, yes, the dialectic. Yeah. So science that explains, you see, and understands and interprets, brings it back in a more understandable way to the world, in a more sophisticated way, you put in more information. It's like, see, this is something that happens in your life all over. It's not something that is very foreign to you. You also always have an input in your life, whatever you meet, the situation, whatever the situation is, in the family, in the business, and I don't know where, you work with what you know. You work with the data bank you know. Whatever you know about the life experience and how to approach the subject and so on, you work with the input you have within yourself. Then with that input you have within yourself, you say, I'm going to work out this so and so and so. That's the black box, that's the processing of it. And then one nice morning when you wake up, you see that you have used that computer wrongly, that you have processed it wrongly, and the outcome, the output, is some kind of a crisis, some kind of a chaotic situation, some kind of something that has all gone wrong. That's the output then, has gone wrong in this case, but it's an output. So what are we doing with it? We really use the feedback. We say, well, somewhere on the line something went wrong, either in the word or in the Christ, so that the output was wrong. Somewhere something went was not right. And so you use your experience, what you have done, and have the feedback, and say, measure, so to say, what was wrong in your input, that you went out from a wrong premise, for instance, that you had a completely wrong premise, therefore a completely wrong word, and therefore because of that something processed itself wrongly in the black box, something went wrong there, and you had a false output. So you go back to the input again with your experience, say, I have to correct there something. And you have a modified, an improved sense of the input. And that can process itself and bring out something better than before, a better output. And you have to go perhaps through 2-3 different experience and life experience and make the same mistakes and correct that more and more until finally you say, now I got it. Now, the next time I'm not going to make that mistake anymore. So that's the feedback process, something that is absolutely natural with each one of us. Each one has made that experience. So this cybernetic terminology is not something very foreign to us. It's just another way of saying things, what we have always experienced. All right, so we had that. Let's take another one. Uh-huh. This is antithesis and the synthesis. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know if we can do that. I'm not quite sure. If that is the fourth side of the Holy City, it's a method of working. Huh? Let's take something we know from science. Where do you have another four in the textbook? Come on. Yes, Jean. Oh, Father. Yeah, you can take that, yeah. Father, Son, Mother. Mm-hmm. And then the third. Oh, you want to know that, man's relationship to God. Well, you can take that if you like. Huh? Let's take relationship. Huh? The word, you would say, is man's relationship to God. Huh? Because that comes very near to what we had at the beginning with seeking, huh? With the approach to God. So if we take, for instance, the subject of man and God, we can put it right through the fourfold sequence, can first have in the word man's relationship to God, because he go out from man and he through his seeking and the approach to God, he begins to understand and to know more about God. Like in the first four chapters of the textbook, they all have to do with that approach to God, man's relationship to God, man seeking God, man desiring to know God. So it's man's relationship to God. What would be the Christ in it? God's relationship to man. That's now something else, where we consider how God comes to man, not as we seek man, but that God has also a relationship to man, that is Christ's office, that he says, I come to man. It's the angel descending. And the word was the angels ascending. Now the angels descending, that's the relationship from God to man. Now what do you get in Christianity? Yeah, absolutely. And you get man's relationship to man, yes, or idea to idea, yes. So that's true Christianity. We can see that very easily, that is Christianity. When we consider the interrelationship of ideas or the interrelationship of the true idea man, and what do we get if we come to science? We still have relationship man to God, God to man, man to man. And now what is the relationship in science? One. Principle and idea, one. The oneness. Because oneness is a relationship here in science. Is oneness. See, the relationship becomes oneness, yes? So you have principle and idea, one. That's the highest relationship, the oneness. Terrific, Can you see? Can you see also how always the fourth side somehow is like a solution to the first three? See, here you see it very, very nicely. You have the word. You say, well, there is a relationship of man to God, as if they were separate, which they aren't in being. But the method we use is that way, that we say, all right, first man must approach God, must have a relationship to God. Then you have the Christ, God's relationship to man, as if they were two different things. God up here, man down here. Still there is, can you see, there is still some kind of a mistake in that whole thinking. It's not pure. And then you come man to man as if there would be many men. And science is always that somehow takes out of that little bit incorrect reasoning, the sting of it out, and says, now what is it? God and man is one. That's the only relationship there is, the oneness of principle and idea of God and man. God and man, she would then call it coexistent, co-eternal, the co is really the unity. And so relationship becomes oneness, relationship becomes unity. So we can see very easily how always the fourth side gives us, so to say, the scientific explanation of the word Christ of Christianity. Yes. So we have that, that's beautiful. Do we have another one? One that everybody knows? You could say that, yeah? The word would be out of itself, yes, under Christ, through, that would be the expression, through itself, Christianity as itself, yes, very good. And science is again can you see here in science again the feedback, that God principle manifests itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, and it comes right back to itself. So it manifests itself to itself or for itself. And you have the closed loop of the cybernetic circle. Yes? So that's another one. Yes? You think we can put in another one in a minute? One that everybody knows, everybody knows by heart in a dream, even at night. Without thinking, what is it? Oh, you never read the definition of God in your life? Never, never, never. Oh, yes. Yeah. We have incorporeal, the word. Oh, well, well. Incorporeal, divine, Christ, supreme, Christianity, and infinite science. Yeah. Why is the word incorporeal? That's a difficult question. Why is the Christ, I think that's the reason, to say in that definition of God that the Word is absolutely incorporeal, that has nothing to do with the whole material universe, that the nature of God is not material, is not corporeal, is incorporeal. The Christ is divine. Why is the Christ divine? Yes, because it comes from God. So it gives us the divine sense from God. Why is Christianity supreme? Universal, yes. All embracing. Especially when one watches you, all embracing. Yes, the realm of ideas, yes. It has a lot to do, you know, with that incorporeal sense, that it is above corporeality. Oh, yeah. Above corporeality. And therefore is an unlimited sense and a free sense of things. Yeah. And then infinite is science, because when we calculate in science, there is no limit to it. Yes, well, we have to stop here. We will go on tomorrow. Perhaps you think out a few others until tomorrow, and then we finish it up.